Good morning, everyone. We good?
Yes.
Yeah, you ready? Who has been enjoying seeing the start of new life and creation? Yeah? What? Yeah, shout it out. Daffodils. Come on, what else? Yes, bumblebees. Sun, yes, all the flowers, the sunshine. I love it. I love the buds forming. I love seeing the growth. I love the bird song. I absolutely love it. Or the bird song. Yeah, bird singing. Has anyone in this season had the itch to start spring cleaning? Oh, I'm seeing a few nods. I can give you my address afterwards if you want to come and do my house too. Spring cleaning. You know, I was doing my shopping online this week and it came up with all the deals of like what cleaning stuff you can buy, what accessories. There's so much, isn't there, out there. You must clean your home and this is how you do it. But this morning we are thinking about spiritual spring cleaning. So why do we need this? Well, in Paul's letter, his first letter to the Corinthians, so that was a church that he knew really well, he addressed some of the problems that were affecting the church. And in chapters 5 through to 7, he addresses some problems relating to sex. You know, it was not good what was happening. The people of Corinth had said, oh, I am free, I'm a new creation in Christ, I can do whatever I want. And they were going around and being outrageous and doing things that God just does not like. So Paul was like, right, I need to speak some truth into these people. He brought correction and he brought challenge to their ways of thinking through love and grace. So in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, it says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. Here, Paul is reminding the people that when you invite God into your life, when you believe, when you confess, and when you repent, you are brought back into a relationship with him. And he dwells in you. He lives in you. He then goes on to explain that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so will believers' bodies be raised from the dead. Which means if your body is being redeemed by Jesus now and in the future, then what you do with your body matters. It's not yours to do whatever you want with it. If you've invited Jesus into your life, the Spirit lives in you. So we need to use our bodies to glorify God. So I'm going to go through 5 points, 5 areas of spring cleaning that we can do in ourselves. So the first one, after winter, we often can like to open our windows. We've got some windows open this morning even. You know, your house can feel a bit stale or musky, can't it, in the winter? You know, it's a first step sometimes in spring cleaning. Open up the windows, let the fresh air in. You know, I don't know about you though. The thought about opening windows when I'm really nice and warm and comfortable, it's not what I want to be doing. That's probably the last thought in my head. I don't go, oh, I'm so happy and content and warm. Let me ruin that by opening a window. And sometimes our hearts can get in this state too. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the hustle and the bustle, the worries, the distractions, the routines, that we can find ourselves like a house with the windows shut. Sometimes we have been so used to being closed up that there is almost like a window has got frosted over or rusted over. Anyone's window is a bit hard to open after winter? So we all have the choice to leave our hearts in this state. It's up to us. We can leave them, or we can allow the Holy Spirit to help us open the windows inside of us. In Psalm 51, we have a psalm from David, And he had just been awful. He had just committed adultery. He was in such a bad way. And he was crying out to God, asking him to forgive him. And in verse 10 it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me." David here felt that he needed a completely new heart, a heart transplant, rather than just a little clean. He needed something completely transformative. And he also asked for a steadfast spirit, a right and steadfast spirit. He wanted a spirit that would continue in the way of godliness. And he showed a humble reliance on God to ask him for that. So for some of us this morning, we might be a rusty and stuck window. We might need a bit of WD-40 on us. We might be complacent where we're at, so used to having the door closed that you feel like you just can't get it open. But God is there, tapping on the window, inviting you, wanting you to open your heart to him. And that might be for the very first time, and that might be afresh. Some of us need to open up, let the Spirit move, just as fresh air cleans a room. So this is your invitation this morning. Do you want to open your heart to God? The powerful, all-knowing and all-loving creator of the universe is wanting you to answer. He longs for a relationship with you. He loves you. For others of us, you might be in the habit of opening your windows. You might be good at that. Well, there's a German habit that has been going viral on social media recently. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's called house burping. Okay? House burping. And what they do in their culture, in society, is they encourage people to open all the windows in the house, whatever the season, for a good 5 to 10 minutes and change the airflow of the space. So they call that house burping. Crazy, isn't it? You can Google it later. You know, this should be the ultimate goal for each of us, to get in the habit of opening our hearts to God afresh every morning, inviting him to flow through our lives, through prayer and worship and the power of the Holy Spirit. So number one, it's your choice. Are you going to open the windows? Number two, this is not to bring shame on anyone, okay? And it's not for you to answer now. But when was the last time you pulled out your sofa and vacuumed behind it? Or the fridge? Or the really heavy bit of furniture? Yeah, I think we've all got mutual facial expressions at the minute, actually. Yes. Have you ever swept or vacuumed a room that looks like quite clean, and then when you're doing it, you get the bag of the vacuum and you go, oh my goodness, I didn't realise there was that much dust. It might not look bad to the eye, but my goodness, there is all sorts in there, isn't there? Often, when we move things, we discover things that we didn't even realise we had accumulated. All of the dust bunnies. I don't know what you guys call them, but the dust bunnies. And that thing, it happens in our spiritual lives too. Over time, things settle into our hearts that don't belong there. That might be resentment, bitterness, pride, unhealthy habits, distractions. And all of these things pull us away from God. We can let stuff, our baggage, our dust bunnies, however you want to see it, build up so much that we can't see God. Spiritual spring cleaning requires us to be honest and to move some of these bits of furniture that has been around for a long time. It requires us to surrender. And one of the things we can ask God to do is to show us what has built up within us. In 1 John 1:9, we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There is business that all of us in the room need to do with God. All of us have gubbins. All of us have dust bunnies. We're human. We accumulate stuff. And you know, it isn't always enjoyable at the time to sweep and vacuum and deal with the dirt. But the feeling of having a fresh, clean home afterwards is transformative. Anyone else sleep better when their bedroom's clean? Yeah, it makes such a difference, doesn't it? You know, the temptation for us can be that we go, "Oh, I'll pull the sofa out, I'll see all the mess behind it, I'm just going to push it back." That is a temptation, isn't it? I'll deal with that later. But actually, we need to go there. If we reflect again over verse 1 in 1 John, or chapter 1 in 1 John, we can notice the word cleanse. God doesn't stand there going, "Oi, you've missed a bit. Oi, you, get under there. He doesn't do that to us. He says, "Come, daughter, come, son, let's deal with this together." You know how it can be just like a parent sweeping up next to you. It's gentle. It's helpful. It's loving. He's bending down with us. "Come on, let's deal with this." He wants to take care of you. He sweeps, vacuums, and then mops the floor for each of us. God, in his loving way, removes the stains of our lives and holds no record of our wrongs. So we've got to take the time to allow God to show us where our dirt has built up. We've got to get in a right position with him to pray, repent, ask for forgiveness, and let God cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So number two, we've got to deal with the dust bunnies. Number three, who can recognise this show? Go on then, sort your life out. Yeah. I find it so fascinating, actually, sort your life out. One of the highlights, in my personal opinion, Stacey Solomon, she and her team, they go to a person's house, which is normally super-duper cluttered, and they take everything out, all of the belongings, and they lay them out in a big warehouse on the floor. I mean, if that isn't a humbling experience, there was one episode and someone had like over 100 forks and cutlery items that they just didn't realise that they had. It just built up. You know, during the spring cleaning, we've got to lay out some of our stuff like this. You know, we have the choice to go through every item and decide whether to keep it, donate it, or bin it. So we often go through, when we're spring cleaning, our stuff, and we go through our closets and our storage boxes. Some things we keep, but other things we get rid of because they no longer serve a purpose. And spiritually, we sometimes carry burdens that God never intended for us to hold. Guilt from the past. Fear about the future. Regrets we keep on playing. Expectations that we have put on ourselves. Expectations that other people have put on us. We can sometimes find that our possessions possess us. But Christ invites us to release these burdens. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are. God knows what we're like as humans. Josh, can I borrow you? Josh's going to be my glamorous assistant. Look at this. The people love you. So visually, I like to see some of this stuff as bags or boxes. You know, sometimes, here's a bit of guilt here. Here's a bit of shame there. There you go. Here's a bit of resentment as well. There you go, and that one. Here's all this stuff. There is stuff that each of us carry that God has not intended for us to hold. Now, there's something visual that I really like to imagine. When we are carrying all this stuff, I like to visually in my head imagine me like this, walking into the throne room of God and taking the time to lay each of these things down at his feet, to surrender them over and give them over to him. And then when I've gone through all of it, you can hold that again, that's all right. Thank you. And then when you have emptied yourself of all of this stuff, I then like to imagine Jesus wrapping you in the snuggliest blanket of peace and rest, wrapping it around your shoulders and then walking out the room. And I was sharing this image on Thursday at our home group. And Josh said to me, imagine you were like this, and then here's Jesus. Come on, give us a hug. I'm here. I want a relationship with you. I love you. Can it work when we're holding all this stuff? Maybe awkwardly, but not really. Thank you, Josh, for that. There we go. I'll relieve you from your duties. But that is what all of us do. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Josh. Josh couldn't see me, could he? How are we meant to see Jesus when we're carrying things over our head height? When we're blocking our eyes? How are we meant to be in a close relationship with Jesus when we've got all this baggage in the first place getting in the way? God wants to be close for you, with you. He desires a relationship with you. In Psalm 55:22, it says, give your worries to the Lord. He will take care of you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Number three, let go and let God. Let God deal with it. And then once we've had this big decluttering, it's normal for us to try and fill in things, isn't it? And put things back in. Cleaning is also about creating a healthy and welcoming space. Once we clear away what is harmful, we must fill our lives with what draws us closer to God. So that might be prayer or reading scripture, having community with other believers, kindness towards others, gratitude, worship. In Philippians 4:8, Paul encourages believers to think about the whatevers. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, and admirable. A spiritually clean heart becomes a place where God's love can grow. So a question for you to all ask yourselves is, what are you filling your life with? What consumes your diary? Can I challenge you, as you go and have lunch, your Mother's Day lunch for some of you, take time to reflect on this. Think about, what are you filling your time with? You know, for some of us, we might need to actually block out time in our diary, like a meeting, to help us get in the habit of getting alone with God. You know, we might decide to do mealtimes differently, intentionally asking family members questions or having discussions around different topics to help you all think and draw closer to God. You know, it's important to remember that no house looks the same. Each house is different. It's designed for the people in it. I mean, I've got hundreds of plants and disco balls and pom-poms everywhere. that is not going to be happening in Luke's house. However much Samantha might like it, Luke will not want a party house like that. He likes it clear. Clear and clean. Yes, simple. Each of us are different. Okay, each of us are different. Each of us have our own ways of meeting with God. Each of us have our own styles and preferences. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that one of us is wrong. You know, we're all created differently. We're all created in His image. So try things. Find out what's best for you. Find out how it's best for you to meet with God. For some of you, it might be going swimming. And then while you're swimming, listening to a podcast or praying. I know there's underwater headphones these days, so I'm not going mad. You know, it might be going for a walk. It might be throwing some pottery on the wheel. And listening to worship music. You know, we're all different. Or it might just be going out for coffee with Jesus, opening up your Bible and sitting and reading and learning scripture. Number four, we've got to fill the space with what is good. Don't let the dust regather. Don't leave the donation boxes in the hallway for a few months. Deal with them. Make that space. And point five, we have got to remember that we are living in a new season. Spring reminds us that God is always in the business of renewal. After the cold and darkness of winter, life returns again. And God does the same for each of us. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are reminded, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Spiritual spring cleaning isn't about perfection. It's about renewal. Allowing God to refresh, restore, and revive us. So as this season of spring arrives, let us remind ourselves to pause and examine our hearts. We've got to be intentional about some of this stuff. You know, it's just going to build up if we don't deal with it. We've got to be people who open the windows to God's Spirit, who deal with the dust bunnies, who let go and let God, who fill your life with what is good and life-giving, and remember that God isn't here to condemn us and make us feel really guilty and bad. He is waiting to renew us. So may this season be a time when God cleans our hearts, refreshes our spirits, and help us walk in the new life He has given. Amen. So we're going to take some time to do some of that this morning. I'm going to leave these points up. There might be something in particular that God's really talking to you about. And so sometimes we can listen to these things and go away and do nothing about them. You know, I've done that before. I'm not going to lie to you. But actually, we need to be intentional. We need to deal with some of this now. So it might just be having a little chat with Jesus now and saying, God, what are these things that you want to deal with me? So we're just going to take 5 minutes or so just to deal with some of this. If you want to grab a person next to you, if you need some prayer, if you want to journey through some of this, then let's go for it. Let's roll up our sleeves and do some cleaning in the house today. And then we're going to come together, and then I've got a little thing to give each of you to remember. So let us just pray now. Have a little chin wank. Share what you've learned or what you can take away with. Go for it.